accession number 33250, Reel 2.
Okay. So, John Wilton, Reel 2. What training did they give you at the OCTU? Did it start off, for instance, with basic drill?
Oh, yes, all the basic training again, the drill and the weapons training, but very much more out into the country, over the mountain marches and tactical exercises it's difficult to remember everything, but it was a very comprehensive and concentrated, condensed course, and so we were given 6 months and that was it, you know. One of our tests was halfway through the course we were given a week's leave, and before we went on leave we were taken up in trucks at night with the covers on the trucks, so that we had no real idea of where we were going. We were given a couple of maps and we weren't told which one we were on or anything like that. We were taken up onto the back of Kader Idris, the mountain overlooking Barmouth, and told that we had to make our way back by the following day, and if we got back on time we would go on leave. So you had to find out first of all where you were. You were decanted from the truck with your maps, and we were told that we were not to use the roads. We were to keep off the roads. We were to make our way across country. The roads would be patrolled, and anybody who was caught on the road would be in trouble, and you didn't want to be in trouble at an OCTU because that risked that you would not be commissioned at the end of it. So there it was. We found ourselves not very far from houses and things, and we went to the nearest house that we could and ask them where we were, and they told us, and we then found that on the map, and we then said, well, we are here and Barmouth is there and Kader Idris is between us and Barmouth. You don't want, if possible, to have to go right over the top and down, so round this side or round that side. And we worked it out, and we decided we would go this way. What was most disconcerting was that from time to time on the side of quite a steep mountain you would find yourself up to the knees in a bog. However, we made it, and we went on leave.
And while you were there, were they teach you things like man management skills for when you became an officer?
Well, you got lectures about that. There was nobody you could actually practice on. The practice that I got was from Tommy Evers about man management, who told me what to do and what not to do and what soldiers expected and what soldiers expected of their officers and so forth. All perfectly straightforward stuff, the sort of thing that we had also been told already at Oxford. You always have to think of your men and keeping them cheerful and confident and feet in good order, and it's that is the sort of thing that it's the sort of thing that you either do or you don't. If you're good at it, that's fine. If you're not good at it, you may encounter all sorts of problems.
On would they give you exercises and things though to sort of tactical exercises to help you to run?
They were very difficult. I was trying always to deal with the situation, which was very far from clear in my mind. They were meant to be so. You weren't given simple things saying you do this, you do that, you attack here, you do that. You were told this is the as they used to say, they painted a picture. They put you in the picture, and you had to decide what to do. Well, sometimes you got it right, sometimes you got it more or less right, sometimes you got it quite wrong.
And were things like mess etiquette important to learn at that time?
No, very brief talk. Right at the end, after you've been commissioned, about how to behave when you've got your new unit. You know, watch it, chum. It's just what it meant. Don't. A second lieutenant is seen but not heard very much in the mess.
And while you were there, what would you do in the evenings for leisure?
You didn't have much in the way of leisure. On a Saturday night there was a cinema in Barmouth, but I don't think I ever went to it. I don't think that there was ever anything on that I particularly wished to see. Used to go to church, the church parade. You'd be marched off to whichever denominational church you'd signed up for. Church of England, Roman Catholics, other denominations. The people of Barmouth were quite hospitable. They took an interest in us. They would invite us to come and have supper or something, you know, occasionally when they could. There wasn't a great deal of supper going because we were all on rations, and the army had our rations, and we had. So, but anyway, they were very pleasant and agreeable to us while we were there. And they took an interest in what went on, which to them was often quite incomprehensible. Our regimental sergeant major was from the Coldstream Guards, and the Coldstream Guards wear a white band around their hat, the Grenadiers red, the Irish green, and so on, Scots tartan. So this tremendous figure with the white band on his hat would come onto the parade ground occasionally and let his voice be heard. Of course, the distinction in the OCTU uniform was that cadets, while they were cadets, wore white bands on their hats. And one old lady was heard to remark on one occasion, "Who is that large cadet who is so noisy?" Well, that was the sergeant major, of course, but she didn't realise that not everybody who wore a white band on his hat was a cadet. Anyway.
What were your other instructors in like? How would they treat you?
They were very good. I mean, they'd been chosen for their ability to to maintain a decent relationship with people who aspired to be officers but were not yet officers. They had to be taught, they had to be kept up to the bit, as you might say, but it had to be done in as civilized a way as possible. And on the whole, that was the way it was. It was very well done. The only time that you saw anything approaching disagreeable behavior was if somebody was, for whatever reason, out of order and was being punished. That is to say, being made to mock time and get his knees up, and he'd sweat and strain and so on and try. The point being that they would see how you would react in that sort of situation. If you were going to be given an extra drill or some other punishment for some infraction, whatever it might be, then you would be watched to see how you would react. It was no use resenting the fact that you were being punished. That was all part of the thing. What will he do in such a situation? Again, good advice from Tommy Evers, you see. I mean, said, well, for goodness sake, if you're in this situation, don't try to resist it. You've just got to make the best of it that you can. Sweat but get on with it and get through it.
And do you feel the training you were given at the Okachu was good? Did it help you?
It was good, yes. But I'll come on to how good in a minute.
Certainly. And so how long were you at the Okachu?
6 months. Arrived in January, commissioned in June, just marginally under 6 months.
Did you have any tests or exams at the end of that?
No, you had a passing out parade. I mean, you were examined the whole time, but you had what was called a passing out parade, and there you were at your smartest, but by that time they had made up their minds whether you were going to be any good or not.
And when it came to joining a regiment afterwards, did you have any choice in where you went?
Yes, you were invited to say where you would like to go. I said I would like to go to the Duke of Wellington's regiment. Of course, I had no right to go to a Yorkshire regiment, no connection whatsoever. But anyway, that was what I said I would like.
That's entirely because of your
friend. Because of Tommy, yeah. So there it was. But when my commission came through, it was to the Royal Ulster Rifles. Hurried night work by the tailor, changing all the brass buttons to black buttons. I mean, that sort of thing, they were used to people not getting the regiment that they had hoped for or asked for, and having to make last minute adjustments to their uniforms. I had no more reason to be a Royal Ulster Rifleman than I had to be in the Duke of Wellington's regiment. I had no connection whatsoever. I was a Londoner, I was 6'3", and riflemen are on the whole smaller than guardsmen, And they march at a fantastically fast pace, which is difficult if you've got long legs. But so there it was. For some reason, joker in Hobart House had said, what are we going to do with this one? The Royal Ulster Rifles need someone, you know, so send him. So off I went to the Royal Ulster Rifles. Now, this is the question of training. The Royal Ulster Rifles had a battalion, the 2nd Battalion, in the 9th Brigade in the 3rd Division. This was a regular division. It was Montgomery's division in the early stages of the war in France and out through Dunkirk and so forth. They had fought a well conducted rear guard action at Louvain or Leoben, however you like to call it. They had emerged with some credit, and as you would expect, if they were being commanded by Montgomery, they would know what they were about. I didn't know what I was about. It really I was all right, but I knew nothing. Well, for about July till about October. I engaged in all the training and so forth that they were doing, combined operations training, up to Lochfine for assault landings from a troop ship, down to the New Forest and the Isle of Wight to do training with tanks, training off to the divisional battle school to learn the latest on tactics and so on and so forth. But all this I had to do, but there was no doubt that I was floundering for much of the time, quite rightly, they decided, somebody decided, I mean the commanding officer decided, that it would be far better if I was sent where I belonged, to the Young Soldiers Battalion, and taught my trade. So I was posted away from the 2nd Battalion to the 70th Battalion, the Young Soldiers Battalion, which was in Plymouth.
Whereabouts had you been based with the 2nd Battalion?
Well, all, as I said, all over the place. We were in Southern Command, in and around Winchester and so forth. But we went up to Scotland, we went down to the New Forest, we went to the Isle of Wight. It was more or less constant moving about.
Had you been training all that time?
Training all the time, yes. Training in the New Forest with Churchill tanks, which were then the new infantry tank, and the discussion about whether a division should not contain three infantry brigades, but two infantry brigades and a tank brigade, and this was all nothing to do with me, except we were told that this was what they were thinking about, and we would now go and practice it, and so on. Anyway, I finished up in the Young Soldiers Battalion.
Where were you posted with them?
Sorry?
Whereabouts was the 17th?
That was then in Plymouth. Just outside Plymouth, up the hill, Crown Hill.
Were you in a camp there?
We were in a very, very good, well-built, purpose-built barracks, and it was settled. I mean, it was quite different from all the continual moving about. Anyway,
what was your accommodation like in those barracks?
It was just as good as was available at the time. It was a new barracks, and it was built on what was then the latest model, and there was no criticism of it in that way at all. And of course, they had for the purpose of training young soldiers, assembled a suitable staff of commanding officer and instructors and people who were up to this thing. That was fine. We'd hardly been there for a few weeks when we were moved to Essex, to Chigwell. Just down the road from where I'd lived and gone to school and so on. There we were billeted out in everywhere from Loudon to Barkingside. Anyway, at that point, they needed a mortar platoon commander. They looked around at the available people and decided for some reason that I should be the mortar platoon commander, which was a good job. It was more interesting in a way than plain rifle company work, but anyway. There it was, good or bad, I was now in command of the mortar platoon. I didn't know anything about mortars. So after a couple of weeks, they had organised for me to go to the mortar school at Netheravon. And off I was packed to Netheravon to learn about the mortar, the 3-inch mortar.
What did they teach you there?
Sorry?
What did they teach you on that course?
All about a mortar, what it could do, what it couldn't do, how much it weighed, what you did with it, the bomb, and how you used it, and what was a sensible way of fire. I mean, because it fires up into the air and down, you aim to get behind something out of sight and where your flash is not immediately obvious. And then the point is that it's no good standing behind the wall beside the mortar and firing, because you don't know where the thing's going or anything. Communication. You've got to have an observation post, the same as artillery. You see, it's artillery writ small. You've got to know what you're firing at, and you don't want to be seen by the people that you're firing at. I mean, that is the basic about a mortar. Anyway, about two-thirds of the way through the course, I was told that I had been put on a draft to North Africa. So,
how did you feel about that?
Well, you sometimes wonder. You say to yourself, "Well, wouldn't it have made sense to give me another week to finish the damned course?" You know, I said so to the commanding officer. I said, "But surely I can finish. No, you're on this draft. There's nothing we can do about it. You're on the draft. So I was on the draft. The thing, I mean, this is all speculation. I had no access to the posting for the arrangements of this sort. That was all staff work done somewhere in London. But it was fairly clear the invasion of Tunisia had started in November, and the the First Army there was an Irish brigade, and the Irish brigade between November and for the first 5 months or so of the fighting, they too were learning fast, sometimes painfully, and they had one or two heavy knocks and needed reinforcements, and the drafts were assembled to get the 38th Brigade back up to strength. That's how it appears to be in Whitehall or wherever, which is perfectly true, but that is why apparently irrational decisions about who's to be where get taken. So there I was. I joined the brigade on the 17th of March 1943.
How had you got from Netheravon out to...
Yeah, that's a long story too. But I mean, the answer is by sea. We joined the convoy.
Where had you... where had you sailed from?
From...
Had you made any preparations...
No,
before
no.
you went at all?
Or no,
did you
no.
just go straight
nothing,
to...
Nothing. I mean, you loaded your kit and went. we went from Scotland. Having boarded the vessel, we joined the convoy, and we steamed out towards America. And we went on and on and on out into the Atlantic. We wondered where the hell we were going, you know. only then, in the middle of the night, some way out, we turned and shot back through the Straits of Gibraltar. The object, of course, being to try to avoid being sunk by U-boats. Anyway,
we... What had your... Was it a large vessel?
Yes, it was a large vessel. It was a Dutch East Indiaman. I've forgotten the name. Reese. R-U-I-S. Anyway.
What had your accommodation on board been like?
About 10 officers to a room on hefty wooden bunks, which had been... two-story bunks which had been put in. The public rooms were palatial by our standards, but the troops' accommodation was something quite different. They were in hammocks below decks, and one of your duties was, from time to time, you were the duty officer. You had to go round at night and make sure that everything was all right. Going round at night, ducking under hammocks, in crowded and unventilated spaces, because, of course, the ship was blacked out and the... porthole. I mean, it wasn't armoured, but the best that could be done was done to keep it safe. But my goodness, it stank. Of course,
did you have other duties during the voyage?
Sorry?
Did you have other duties during the voyage? Did you have other duties during the voyage?
We continued to train. We were told all about desert warfare and navigating with the sun and the compass and so forth. All sorts of wonderful things like that. Only we were going to Tunisia. Tunisia's got a lot of desert, but the fighting was going on in the cultivated strip. So the First Army was sent out there with all their vehicles in sand coloured camouflage, and when they got there, of course, they found that it really needed to be green and black like everybody else. But so that was hurriedly done. A lot of paint was splashed about. But anyway, that had all been attended to by the time that I got there. We landed in Algiers.
Stop you there, sorry.